once heard a story of a sainted old mother who had lived out her life here on earth. As she lay on her deathbed, her friends gathered round her, and these were the last words she said. Oh, look what I'm trading for a mansion. Oh, look what I'm leaving behind. Oh, look who will be there to greet me when I step in God's sweet paradise. I'm leaving behind all my sorrows. I'm leaving behind all my cares, for I'm trading it all for a mansion Jesus has gone to prepare.
Her hands were so feeble, her voice was so low, but she still had a smile on her face. She said, Lord, I hear singing, oh, they're waiting just for me. Then she looked up into heaven and said,
oh, look what I'm trading for a mansion. Oh, look what I'm leaving behind. Oh, look there to greet me when I step in God's sweet paradise. I'm leaving behind all my sorrows. I'm leaving behind all my cares.
This morning that I pray the Holy Ghost will anoint me to preach, that the sermon will be somewhere close to as good as the text. Hallelujah. You know, that's always the preacher's challenge, is to read the Bible and then to preach things that will make that verse or verses come alive and at least be as anointed by the Holy Ghost as the text is itself. And 1 John Chapter 3 is a wonderful passage. We'll begin with verse 1. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. You know that 1 John was written by St. John, who wrote the book of St. John. Now, not only did he write the book of St. John, he wrote the book of Revelations. The book of St. John and the book of Revelations, and 1st and 2nd and 3rd John. Now, this book or these books are some of the greatest writings in our Bible. And nothing matches or supersedes the book of Revelation. You know that John was a man full of the Holy Ghost, from the things that God poured through him in the Holy Scripture. You can trust what he says is not just a man's opinion, not just what a man is thinking, but you can trust that what John writes is from the Holy Ghost. Now, there's no reason to doubt that. Do you agree with that, church? You can't doubt that it's from the Holy Ghost. So as I read, don't take what I read as the words of a man, but take them as the words of the Lord. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that ye should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Oh, what a verse of scripture. I'm going to read it again. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we will see him, or shall see him, as he is. And every man that hath this hope, that every man that hath this hope, remember that word hope, would you repeat it with me? Hope. Say it out loud. Hope. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And we know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Woo! Woo! That's kind of tight, isn't it? It's tight, but it's right. Amen. Amen. And we know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Woo. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteous is righteous, even as he is righteous. That's Christ, even as Christ is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the work or the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. What a text. Would somebody say, what a text? What a scripture. What a marvelous truth. Hallelujah. Now, this is the standard of your life as a believer. This is your standard of truth as a believer. Now, I want to preach this morning on the words, the hope of the world. The hope of the world. Did you know that the word hope, it's one of the most pleasurable words in all the English language. Are you listening to me? Did you know that the word hope is one of the most pleasurable words in the English language? The word hope. The word hope. One of the most pleasurable words in the English language. There's no word quite like it. It appears 75 times in the Old Testament, and it appears 58 times in the New Testament. 75 times in the Old Testament, and 58 times in the New Testament. The word hope. The Bible makes it plain that a Christian is to live by hope. Now, you may be seated. I hope no one else will have to go out the doors while I'm preaching. It's very important that you not miss little segments of it. And so you hear the full word of God, the hope of the world, the hope of the world. You look anywhere you want to look. You look at anything you want to look at that this world provides. You follow it the best you can follow it. You look at it as clearly as you possibly can look at it. And then think. Just use your head, use your mind, and think. How long will this last like it looks right now? How long will this continue in the same fashion it is right now? You could have the most beautiful yard in the world, but you can leave it alone a few weeks and you don't have a beautiful yard. You can have one of the most wonderful homes to live in that is available, but if you don't repair and fix some things, it won't take many years until there'll be broken panes and broken appliances and broken steps and all kinds of things will be wrong. Because this world does not have a lot of hope. This world does not have a lot of hope. Hope is a biblical term. Hope is a spiritual term. Hope is a matter only known in its fullness by God. Are you listening to me? Hope is a marvelous word. Hope is a wonderful truth. There's nothing more blessed than that word hope. Thank God for it. Amen? Thank God for the word hope. The hope of the world. The hope of the world. And I'll tell you what, when I begin to think about the word hope, it really is wonderful to me. And it really does mean a lot to me. Thank God for the word hope. Thank God for the word hope. You know, you can just depend on what God says when it comes to hope. Give me a moment here. Hallelujah. Would you just slip your hand up and pray? Father, have your way. Draw our minds in to hear and to receive what you've got to say to us this morning. Break every hindrance, God, and let the joy of the Lord be our strength. Let the joy of the Lord be our help. Let the joy of the Lord be our companion. Praise the name of the Lord our God, who made everything, who is all things, who is all things and everything, and without him was nothing. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. I worship him and I love him and I adore him, and he's everything to me. Pray the Lord to help me now. Hallelujah. God is a good God. He cares about us. Let me talk a little bit about the negative side. The Bible makes us know that our world is a passing fancy. The Bible is very clear in teaching us that worldly pleasures are very intoxicating. Worldly pleasures are very intoxicating. They will literally make you drunk. They will literally make you drunk. The things of this world, the pleasures of this world, the promises of this world, the things you see around you, the things you see in your world, they literally, absolutely will make you drunk. And you'll become so intoxicated on these pleasures of the world that you cannot get your heart and mind back in tune with God. And so if there's anything that is as an enemy of hope, it is what the world has to offer that will make you intoxicated. Oh, the devil can't stand it when you live in the hope of the Bible. The devil can't stand it when you live in the hope of the future. The Bible can't stand it when you live in the hope of his coming. The devil can't stand it when the things of God become master of your life and you live by them and you think about them and you live for them and they become the hope of your life. It's an overwhelming truth. It's an overwhelming matter, and thank God for it. So you understand and you learn that the pleasures of this world will so intoxicate you that you forget your hope. I really think that the pleasures of the world are the biggest enemy of hope there is in the world. I really do. The Bible says, and John says this, the same book except a different chapter. Go back to chapter 2 and look at verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away. Boy, did I say that a while ago. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So, the first thing you understand, you must understand, is the hope of a Christian life is so marvelous and so heavenly and so pleasurable and so wonderful. It'll keep you joyful. It'll keep you happy. It'll keep you full of the blessings of heaven. It'll keep you walking a straight path. I'm telling you, when the hopes of the world get a hold of you, everything else is secondary. So that's why the world wants to make you drunk. The world wants you intoxicated. The world wants you full of the pleasures of sin and the pleasures of just pleasures. There are many pleasures that are not sin in themselves, but oh, how they become sin so quickly when they begin to possess you. When you become drunk on the world, nothing will destroy your faith like being drunk on this world. Oh, God help us. God help us now. That scripture I read doesn't just talk about the pleasures of the world, but it talks about the things of the world. Not only can you become drunk on pleasure, you can be drunk on things. This world has a lot of toys they want you to have. This world has a lot of things they want you to possess. I read some time ago, and it was a kind of epitaph of a successful man. Who is the most successful man? And the answer was, he who has more toys and more things when he dies. Well, we think of people who are successful, who are rich, who are famous, who are full of talent, and who use that talent to woo the world. We think of those things as success. And the Bible is telling us it's nothing to do with things. You know, the greatest death in all the world is when a saint of God goes out of here in the power of the Holy Ghost. I remember going to Black Mountain to pastor, and the superintendent of Sunday school was a Brother Morris. M-O-R-R-I-S. Brother Morris, we passed right within a short distance of his house on Friday. Now, I remember this dear man. He was kind of a new Christian, but a very strong man, a very capable man, and he was a great Sunday school superintendent, and he never had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He became sick with a serious heart attack and a serious heart problem. And he was at the next door of death. And he said, before I die, I've got to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And laying in that hospital room, he prayed through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost and went out of here speaking in the tongues and the language of heaven. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. He had been very successful in life, but he became even more successful in death because he left here with the hope of heaven. Hallelujah. He left here with the hope of heaven. Things didn't mean anything any longer. All that meant anything was facing God full of the Holy Ghost. How many of you want to face God full of the Holy Ghost? That's the hope of this world. So remember now, you've got pleasures coming against you, and you've got possessions coming against you, and many of these things are not really sin, but the Bible says lay aside the sins and these other things that get a hold of you, these cares of life, these weights of life, lay aside the sin and every weight that doth so easily beset you, and run with patience the race that is set before you, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. What does it mean to look unto Jesus? That's the hope of the world. That's the hope of life. That's the hope of pleasure. That's the hope of satisfaction. That's the hope of everything. That's meaning. For hallelujah, the hope of the world is Jesus. Can you say that with me? The hope of the world is Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, how I want him this morning. Now, I want to give you a few things about the word hope in the spiritual sense. Now, remember, the word hope is in the Old Testament 75 times. It's in the New Testament 58 times. It is the most pleasurable word in the Bible. Oh, you say, no, heaven would be a most pleasurable word. No, no, no. Not heaven, but the hope of heaven. See, heaven is beautiful and wonderful, but if you don't have the hope of heaven, all you got is a dream. All you got is a dream. All you got is a vision of something beautiful. But if you have the hope of heaven, then it is as good as having it. It's just a little ways down the road. Oh, hallelujah. So the word hope means, it actually means pleasure. Pleasure beyond degree while you watch and wait for the plan that God has for your life. That's what hope is. Hope is that dream. That dream that has possessed you. And though you don't have the result of the dream yet, it's almost like you've got it because you've got a hold of it. You've got it in your grasp. You've got it in your vision. You've got it in your heart. You've got it in your mind. And so you are rejoicing just like you were already there. You didn't get that, did you? How many of you got what the word hope really means? Hope really means, though you don't have it yet, you're just as happy as if you did. Hope means heaven is out there, and I'm not there yet, but I'm just as happy if I was there. Oh, I wish people could be as happy down here as they're going to be when they get up there. I wish you'd come to church every service with such an excitement and such a joy that all the other things are put behind you and you just come to worship and to praise the great God of heaven because by faith and hope you've reached up and got a hold of it. Somebody help me, will you? Hallelujah. Oh, I'm full of hope this morning. I'm full of hope. Now, let me give you some pictures of hope. It's wonderful, wonderful. Number one, hope is to know him. Hope is to know him. Hope is to know him. Did you know that in this one book of the Bible, there are 30 times he uses the word know? 30 times in these short four chapters of 1 John, Apostle John uses the word know. Because the simple joy of his writings, St. John is true. All three of these books is true. In the book of Revelation is true. John wrote to introduce men and women to Jesus. The thing that possessed John was, I want you to know him. I want you to know him. I want you to know him. And could I tell you this morning, if you know him, there is nothing on the face of this earth that can take away your joy. If you know him, I don't care how dark the night gets and how hard the battle gets, and I don't care how many enemies you got, and I don't care how many come against you, and I don't care what you're facing, if you know him, you are happy and you can't be no other way. Would you raise up a hand and just say that I may know him, that I may know him. Paul said that in Philippians, that I may know him and the fellowship of his sufferings and all the things about him. Oh, that I may know him this morning. Ever since this sermon got a hold of me, I've been crying out, Lord, I got to know him like I've never known him before. Oh, hallelujah. So John writes to us that we might know him. And that's really what the word hope is all about. Hope is the result of knowing him. Hope is the result of knowing him. It's no use of me preaching about hope as some great idea off there in the clouds. It's no use of me preaching about hope as some grand thought that is really wonderful to think about. And I love the word hope. It's a pleasurable word. It makes me feel good to use it. I've always loved the word hope. In 1 Corinthians, you got that great writing of Apostle Paul. There's three things he said: faith, hope, and charity. And he said the greatest of these was charity. I'm not going to argue with that because charity is wonderful. But number two was hope. Hope. Hallelujah. And I want you to know there's hope in this world. There's not hope in the world itself, in the things of the world, but in the world. There is still the gospel. There's still the saints of God. There's still the church of the living God. There's still that bride of Christ. We're still here, but we won't be here long. And so the hope of heaven, the hope of the things of God is a wonderful thought. Woo, hallelujah. So the hope is to know Him. To know Him. I love the thought of knowing Him. This book is all about knowing Him. The whole Bible. The whole Bible. That's why 75 times in the Old Testament and 58 in the New, He uses the word hope, because hope is knowing Him. When you know Him, you've got hope and the devil can't steal it. How many have a hope the devil can't steal this morning? Raise your hand way up high. You got a hope. You got a joy. The devil can't steal it. The devil can't replace it. The devil can't subdue it. The devil can't defeat it. The devil can't take it away from you, because you've got Jesus. You know Him. He saved you. He washed you by His blood. He wrote your name in His book of life. He put His Holy Spirit in you from the moment you were saved. You had the Holy Spirit, not the baptism, but the Holy Spirit. And I'm here to tell you, there's hope in knowing Him. There's hope in knowing Him. Hallelujah. We must know Him. We must know Him. You know, now listen to me. I want to be careful with this, because I don't want no misunderstanding. Too many people in the Christian world depend on what they feel. And that becomes almost the totality of what they think they have. If they don't feel it, they don't have it. And I'm telling you, if you got it, you will feel it. And I'm telling you, there's nothing sweeter than feeling it. There's nothing more wonderful than when the Holy Ghost breathes down through the church and we feel the sweet breathing and moving of the Holy Ghost. And it just kind of sweeps over us and up and down our heart. It moves. It's wonderful. I love the feeling. But I want to tell you something. When the night comes and there's nobody to sing to me, and there's no instrument to listen to, and there's nobody to encourage me, I've got a hope that sticketh closer than a brother. I've got a hope that lays heavy and wondrously on my heart. And it's simply, I know Him. I know the Jesus of Nazareth. I know the Son of the living God. I know the great Savior. He's the hope of the world. He is the only one that is the hope of this world. And if you know Him, you're going to be happy. Raise your hand and worship with me. Oh, the Holy Ghost is present. I know that. Hallelujah. He's wonderful. He's present. I want to tell you something. The more you know Him, the less you'll need anybody to cheer you on and to try to move you. Oh, hallelujah. The more you know Him, the quicker will be your praise, and you'll need nobody helping you. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm so glad I can shout in the middle of the night. I'm so glad I can walk through my house shouting and praising God. Hallelujah. I know Him. I know Him. And if you know Him, you know the ultimate one. He's the Creator. Remember that sermon last Sunday night? Oh, Brother Derek did a marvelous job. Hallelujah. He is the Redeemer. He is the Savior. He is the Master. Hallelujah. And have you ever thought, what did Paul see when he was caught up to the third heaven that he was not allowed to tell when he got back? And I was thinking about that earlier this morning, and I concluded it had to be a vision of Jesus in all of His matchless glory. It had to be the magnificent Son of God on the right hand of the Heavenly Father. And the splendor was so remarkable and so marvelous that Paul came back and said, I saw things that I don't have any words. You say, I know Jesus. I can talk about Him. You wait till you see Him in His glory, and you'll see how much you know about what to say and how to say it. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm convinced this morning, the reason Apostle Paul Paul could suffer all the things he suffered and never be discouraged and never be dismayed. He said, persecuted but not cast down. That's the words he said. Persecuted but not cast down. He spoke of all of his heartbreak and heartache, but he made it plain. He never discouraged him. He spent a night and a day in the deep, the Bible says, and I got to figuring that out. And you know what I decided? He was floating on a plank after a shipwreck in the Mediterranean Sea. The sky was as black as midnight. There was not an ounce of light, and he was floating in the deep on a sea for 24 hours, day and night, and not an ounce of assurance. He didn't know what his hope was, but he was a miracle-loving God. He knew a miracle-loving God, and he had a miracle-believing heart, and he floated in the night, knowing that at some moment, rescue would come. Hallelujah. And he was rescued right in time, I presume. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. When you've got the hope of knowing him, you've got the greatest prize available on the face of this earth. Oh, no wonder Paul or John could write and say, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. No wonder. Man, he'd experienced this wonderful relationship. He knew him. So the hope is to know him. But number two, the hope is to have fellowship with him. I was thinking this morning, and I didn't dare ask the question, how many of you spent an hour in prayer? I'm not going to ask the question now. I'm just telling you what I started to ask. How many of you spent an hour in prayer yesterday, praying for the Holy Ghost to get you ready to help your pastor and to help your church have a moving of the Spirit of God this morning? Think about it now. Don't answer. Don't raise your hand. I don't want to be embarrassed. I want to embarrass you. I have the personal feeling that there wasn't one person in this congregation that spent an hour yesterday on your face with God, asking the Holy Ghost to saturate this place this morning. I came up here yesterday evening to pray. It was too hot in here. I didn't want to cut on the air, so I did it in my office. And I got to praying, and the Holy Ghost come down. When I came in the door, I felt like there was 100 devils looking me straight in the eyeball, saying, I'll get you. I'll defeat you. I'll stop you. You ain't going nowhere. You're at the end of your road. I mean, I really felt the devil coming at me. But when I finished praying last night and went to bed, he was somewhere out of commission, out of my life, out of my mind. And the sweet Holy Ghost was talking his beautiful language in my heart, and I was rejoicing because I have the hope of fellowship. I got to have fellowship with him. It's not enough to say I have him or I claim him. You got to have fellowship with him. And the very purpose of prayer is fellowship with God. Most people never pray until they want something, or they never pray until they've got something and they just want to take a moment to thank him. I'm going to tell you, you need to pray when your only heart is to know him. I want to know him. I want to be acquainted with him. I want his life to have fellowship with him. That's hope. You have fellowship with him, and the devil can't squash your hope. I don't care if he uses a brick bat. If you have fellowship with him, you can get run over by a Mack truck and get up shouting and praising God because your hope is in him. Hallelujah. His fellowship. Oh, Casilla Mondroya, how many of you know what it is to get lost in him? Until all you got on your heart is him, and all that's coming through to you is him, and the joy of his presence is just saturating your being, and your mind is almost, oh, hallelujah, like you're there. Oh, you're having fellowship with him. That's the hope of the world, church. That's the hope of the world. You got to have fellowship. And if you have fellowship, I promise you, life's going to be all right, and God's going to take care of you, and God's going to love on you, and God's going to keep you. Hallelujah. And then you got to walk in the light as he is in the light. Turn with me in 1 John back to 1 and 7. 1 John back to 1 and 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us for our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we walk in the light, yes, he is in the light. Let me tell you something. Now, listen to me. I'm trying to make this as simple as I know how. I want to preach truth to you folks. I want to preach truth to me. I want to preach truth to everybody that will listen to me. Now, listen to me. Jesus Christ is right out there. He's as real as the sun came up this morning. Do you know there's an electromagnetic blanket that wraps this universe? How many knew that? Electromagnetic blanket that wraps this universe. And this universe has a perfect northern polarity by which it faces the north where the throne of God is and where Jesus is sitting on the Father's throne. And that polarity that we have toward the north allows the light that sits around the Father's presence on the seat beside the Father, the blessed Son of God. It allows that light that beams from him to shine through that polarity and covers this earth with a magnetic blanket. You can call it anything you want to call it, but I want to tell you what that magnetic blanket is. It's the light and the life of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He said, by him this world consists, and by him this world is kept in motion. By him everything that has been is focused on him. He's the light of the world, and he's right there visible for you. And the Bible says if you will walk in the light as he is in the light. Hallelujah. It's up to you to walk in the light. He won't make you. I can't make you. I can get you shouting with all I can try, and it will do you no good until you begin to walk in the light of him who beams from the Father's right hand. Somebody raise a hand and just shake it a little bit with him. Can you believe? You got that condor. You listen to me, church, please. He's the light of the world. I said he's the light of the world. He didn't mean that figuratively. He didn't mean that it's just some pious statement. He is the light of the world. By him all things consist. Did you hear what I said? By him. He's the light of the world. He's the bread of life. He's the resurrection. Hallelujah. He's everything you need. I am, he said. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I mean, he says seven things like this. Listen to me, church. We serve a Christ that is sovereign, and he's available, and he's visible, but you got to walk in the light to see him. Most of the church world has never saw him. Most of people in our churches that claim all kind of experiences with God, but they've never spent enough time to see him. They know about him. They can quote the Bible. They can get in a good emotional state, and it looks like they're having a hoopla. Oh, but when the hoopla is over, they can't survive if they don't get another hoopla. I like the hoopla's. I've had a lot of them, but when the hoopla fades, I still got the light of the world. Hallelujah. I still know him. I still know him. How many know him this morning? Would you just raise your hand and worship him a minute? I got so much more to preach. I don't know how much I'll get to. I know these young people probably want me to stop so they can leave, and I understand it's a long drive. But I want to tell you something. When you take this light of the world with you, you've got the greatest thing, and you can know him, and you can know him, and you can have the hope of him. Hallelujah. And the hope in him is unfading and undiminishing, and the world can't touch it, and the world can't steal it, and the world can't destroy it, and the world can't take it away. Hallelujah. It's as fixed as the sun rose this morning. The hope of the world. The hope of the world. I said the hope of the world. I said the hope of the world. Let me try to go on here a moment before I bring this to a conclusion. Listen to me now, please. We shall see him. Well, it doesn't stop there. We shall be like him. Jesus? Jesus. You mean Joe Chambers is going to be like Jesus? Now, I'm not dizzy or anything, so don't get worried about me. You mean to tell me that Joe Chambers is going to be like Jesus? You know, I know I'm about as human as they come. There probably aren't a lot of human preachers or preachers that are any more human than I am. And I know you see it occasionally. And sometimes I hear kind of a click of criticism in your mind when you see that I'm just like you. I'm just flesh. I'm not glorified yet. Sometimes I wish I was, Brother Derek. Sure, it would be nice to be glorified. And so I walk around, you know, like I'm on the cloud. And I'm always just perfect. And everything I say and feel and act is all perfect. But I'm not there yet. But I got hope. I will be there soon. And when he appears, I shall see him. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you something. If you're not hopeful about seeing him, you're missing the greatest joy you'll ever have in your life. That early church was so full of it. They were looking for him around the next bend. They were looking for him over the next hill. They were looking for him at the end of the next trial. They was looking for him at the end of the next critical statement they heard from somebody. They were just looking for him. And because they were looking for him, they couldn't be stopped. They couldn't be defeated. They couldn't be stamped out. Nothing could stop them because they were looking for him. They couldn't wait to see him. They were living for the privilege of seeing him. Oh yes, Apostle Paul saw him when he was in unbelief and when he was an enemy of the Christian faith, when he wanted to destroy the Son of God. I guarantee you, Apostle Paul was up there at Nazareth when they made an effort to throw him over the cliff and destroy him. I guarantee you Paul was up there. I guarantee you he was pushing that crowd of Jesus haters. I don't know that he was, but I can imagine he was. Oh, but he who hated him, he who done his best to destroy him, he who killed his followers, one day saw him. Saw him as one born out of due time. And from the moment he saw him, he was captured by him. Under nothing. No, see, I don't see him like Paul, the great writer, saw him. But in faith, I've seen him. In faith, I know how real he is. In faith, I visualize him and his greatness. In faith, I'm looking to see him when he appears in the skies. By faith, I'm waiting to hear a trumpet call and then hear the beckon of his words and rise to meet him. Oh, hallelujah. I want to see him. And when I see him, the Bible says, I will be like him. Now you talk about hope. That's out of this world. That I'm going to be like the resurrected Son of God. I'm going to have that same supernatural, eternal life dwelling, filling, saturated, a new temple. A new house. The Bible said we've all got a house reserved in the heavens for us. And when Jesus comes, he's going to bring our house with him, I guess. Because when we leave here, we're going to leave here with our new house. Hallelujah. All clothed on our way to the sky. And that's the hope of the world. To see him. And then to be like him. Hallelujah. Say that with me, would you? To see him. And then to be like him. Oh, church. The hope of the world. There's nowhere else to find this. There's nowhere else to look for this. And if you think that the devil and the world has got any pleasure that matches this pleasure, you've been duped. Do you hear me? If you think this world has any possession that's more wonderful than this possession of eternal life, the world has lied to you, and the world has stolen your faith. I'm here to tell you this morning, the hope of the world is Jesus. The hope of the world is Jesus. To see him as he is, the Bible said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a day to have your new body. To have your new body. Glory. Church, I want to tell you this morning. Listen to me. Jesus is the hope of the world. Are you listening? Listen. Listen, come on. Jesus is the hope of the world. You can't just know about him. You've got to know him. And how do you know him? By surrender and by faith. Just give him your life. Give him all you are. Give him everything you are. I promise you, you'll never be the same. Would you bow your heads? I'm not going to give an altar call this morning so these young people can leave quickly. I thank them for being happy to stay till church was over. I love them dearly. I want God's will in every one of them. I want God's will in every one of them. Francis, I want God's will in you. I want you full of the Holy Ghost, Francis, and your friend. Jordan, I want you full of the Holy Ghost, Jordan. Are you going? Are you going, Jordan? Can you stand to be away from Mama that long? He's spoiled you so long and so devotedly. He'll be crying by Wednesday. I want you all to call me and tell me. Listen, let's believe him together. I love you, Jordan. I'm just picking at you. Father, I love you. Jesus, would you stand with me? Jesus, I want this people to know you like they've ever known you. Lord, help me to be a better pastor. Lord, help me to have greater gifts of wisdom, knowledge. Lord, let the gift of prophecy be stronger on me these last years of my life. Let me be able, by the Holy Ghost, to bring men and women into the knowledge of Jesus in such a fashion, Brother Derek, that they'll never want nothing else. From the time I met him, I've never wanted nothing else. Raise your hand if you're praying for that. Walking in the light, that faith. Breathe upon the soul clear. Ron secli toro. And the valise and tarpakaya. Avalindo sili abroinde. Will you raise your hand and just love on him? Worship him. Holy Ghost, let your sweet presence clothe this place. I wish all could stand with me if you could for just a moment. You'll be dismissed in a moment. Oh, I'm standing before you, Lord, and I want you. I want you. I want all that you are. I want heaven's best. I want to know him like I've never known him. I want to know him like I've never known him. How many can say that? But Brother Chambers, I've got the Holy Ghost. Are you telling me there's something bigger? I'm telling you the Holy Ghost is the door inside the great splendor of all of God's knowledge and wisdom and glory. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is the front door. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is the front door. When you get saved, you go in the back door. But when you get full of the Holy Ghost, you go in the front door. And then all the splendor of heaven is right out there. And if you walk in the light as he is in the light, day by day, the splendor of his grace will grow richer and sweeter and more wonderful. And as your life continues, you will become more settled and more established and more dependable and more wise and more usable. Because God wants you to walk in the light as he is in the light. Hallelujah. I've enjoyed preaching. I hope I've said something to help somebody. I'm telling you, we're right at the door of heaven. We're right at the door of heaven. Right at the door of heaven. Pray, Marlon, would you? No, it's not like it was last Sunday. I'm not praying.
Father, we thank you for thy word today, Father. I thank you, Lord, that blessed hope has been instilled in me, Father. Lord, when that love and the grace and the mercy and the salvation of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ come into my heart, he brought a hope, he brought a steadfastness, he brought a joy unspeakable and full of glory. And oh, God, it is that hope that keeps me, Lord, looking, anticipating, anxious, Lord, for thy coming, Lord. Lord, let that hope take a hold of the people of God. Let them realize it is that hope that is the anchor of the soul. It's that hope, oh God, that gives us that assurance The earnest of the Spirit, O God, is the author of that hope, Lord. And we give you praise and honor and glory this morning. Work your work and go with us and be with us, Lord. And let the Lord Jesus Christ reign and rule in every part of our life. In His name we pray. Amen.
133 times in your Bible, the word hope appears. Now listen to me. This is my closing statement. Every time you see the word hope, somewhere hid in that word is the blessed assurance that He's coming for His own. The word hope is a rapture word, to put it plain. It is a catching away word. It is a word that gives us assurance that He's coming for us. Take it with you, and don't ever forget the word hope. God bless you. Shake hands. Tell somebody you love them.
God walks the dark hills, the ways, the highways. He walks on the hill roads or through glimmering lights. Helps me walk the cold. Helped me walk up the mountain.